Well, since the COVID-19 pandemic, it is no surprise. Well, all our kids are on their devices more than ever. In fact, experts found screen time was up 50%. Maureen Ferguson, a senior fellow for the Catholic Association, wrote in a recent opinion piece published in the National Review entitled, "Parents, Your Teens Don't Need a Smartphone." Well, I am in agreement. And we're hearing about how mental health is affected by what we see on social media platforms. Well, joining me today to talk a little bit more about it is Bradley Hahn, co-founder and CEO of Solidarity HealthShare, a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry faithful to the moral teachings of the Catholic Church. Brad, good morning. Thanks so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Well, Brad, any of us who have kids, especially during the pandemic, they were learning at home. We got to see exactly how much time during the day they were spent on the computer or on their smartphones. You know, kids are exposed to so many other things too, especially negative and immoral messages. You know, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. How dangerous are these social media platforms?
Well, the first thing we've noticed, too, is during the pandemic, and we've noticed this with some of the members of Solidarity, some of their children, is just the amount of depression that comes in. So it seems like the more screen time these teens have, depression, anxiety, and loneliness sets in. That's the first thing. And, you know, we don't have to, you know, state, you know, some of the other immoral things that we see online and on the Internet and such like that. That's always going to be there. But I think the biggest thing, too, is we have to do is just kind of turn this into a positive, you know, and spend more time with family, you know, spend more time with family game night, you know, family, you know, maybe even watch a productive movie on TV. So I think there is a way to get these devices out of their hands and have them more connect, because it seems to me as when they're more on these devices, they're less and less connected from community. And especially during COVID, that's when we needed community the most. That's when we needed to come together, not over a phone or FaceTime, but we needed that interpersonal contact. And I think that's what was missing during COVID. And I think a lot of people are seeing that now. And I'm just grateful that now we're reopening everything and we're spending more time, you know, face to face. There's nothing that beats a face to face meeting versus being online.
Well, Brad, I think that as a parent, what I recognize, though, too, is that with that technology, of course, school and our own jobs have to, you know, use a lot of technology. As an adult, I mean, even I recognize that my time spent on different platforms, it was dragging me down and I had to stop it. But kids don't necessarily always have that ability. In fact, they really don't. And as parents, isn't it kind of up to us to say, look, you will need this. You have to learn how to use this, but you also have to learn when to knock it off. How can parents work while it's important to have that family time to also kind of train your kids to say, look, you need to use this, but you got to use it smartly?
Yeah, I think now, too, there's some really good apps even on the smartphone that track how much time they spend on each different app or where they're spending their most time. And I think there you can set limits on there now. And that's what I've done, too, on my phone is I set, you know, little alarms. If I'm on my browsing the Internet too much, I get a little note. Yeah, you've been on it this amount of time. And I think we can really teach our kids, you know, discipline, that there is a way to use it, but we have to make sure it's in moderation, just like everything we do in our life. And I think it's just monitoring that and helping them and giving them suggestions on how to cope with this new technology. I think that's the best thing a parent could do right now.
Oh, I cannot agree more. And Brad, I know they're at Solidarity, recognizing that, well, when things move from just, yeah, that kind of we'll say moody teen into sometimes it really does develop into a point where, you know, parents and kids, they need to talk to somebody to help work them through some of these issues. How is Solidarity there to kind of help parents when dealing with a little bit more intense type of situation?
Yeah, even before the pandemic, we had telehealth and mental health care that was shareable, you know, under our sharing guidelines. And so we really work closely with some other Catholic docs, in particular Dr. Popchek. And what we do with them is we have access for our members to go to an authentic Catholic teaching when it comes to psychiatry and counseling. And so you don't have to worry about going to a counselor when we're online with our telehealth program that's going to be antithetical to what we believe. And so it's our members really have a source of solace there. So they can go to a place they know they're going to get an authentic, you know, counseling that's lined with the teaching of the church. and kind of be on the, both the parent and the child side to make sure the child gets the help they need. And starting in November 1, our program now has unlimited sharing for mental health services, because we noticed that during the COVID-19, we had an uptick in the number of mental health counseling visits that our members were seeing. So we wanted to make sure that our members received the help they needed and weren't limited by a specific number of visits.
Oh, just another way that solidarity is there for our community. Brad Hahn is joining me today. He is the co-founder and CEO of Solidarity HealthShare. Well, Brad, something we reported recently on the Morning Blend, I'd like to have your thoughts on. Catholic News Services reported that Pope Francis recently said that a person's wealth or lack thereof should not be the determining factor when it comes to receiving health care. Well, Brad, Solidarity HealthShare clearly supports that notion that people should have affordable health care made available to them. Share a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's the big issue we see right now in the conversation, and especially in our country, on healthcare, is that, you know, it should be based on how much you make to have access to healthcare. But also, too, I think we have to really think about is the government's not usually or doesn't have to be the answer to the problem. You know, everybody's pushing for a universal healthcare system where the government pays for healthcare. And what we do is we take a step back, is we want to make sure that we have access to affordable healthcare. And so what we do as part of our mission is we help find healthcare that's based on the teaching of the Catholic Church, number one. But number two, we find providers, hospital systems, and doctors that will provide fair and just pricing. Because as you know, we've talked about before, in our healthcare system today, not a lot of people know what things cost when it comes to healthcare. So the doctors don't know what the hospital's charging per procedure. You know, and I'll just give you an example. We had one of our members went to go an outpatient procedure, and the doctor was going to get paid about $2,500 for the procedure. The hospital system wanted to charge about $80,000 just to use the operating room for this 20-minute procedure. And that was just egregious when you look at how much the cost was. And so we reached out and talked to the doctor, and the doctor found another place that we were able to get that same procedure done. Instead of for $80,000, we're able to get it down to $4,500. And so that's what we do for our members, is how do we find transparency in pricing? How do we make sure that our members aren't getting gouged by egregious billing practices, to make sure that we can have fair and reasonable pricing? And that's what happened with our membership last year, Brenda, is we shared in over $27 million worth of medical expenses among our membership, but there was over $90 million of medical bills submitted. So we're able to negotiate and reprice those down to a fair and reasonable pricing for our members.
Oh, it's a brilliant way that you have come up to be able to help really everybody who has a need for this type of service. And it is great, Brad, that Solidarity HealthShare is there to help their members to really walk through this problem. Because, well, to be quite honest, how many of us even know where to begin when it comes to this kind of a thing? We just figure the insurance company would take care of it, but it's great to know that Solidarity knows exactly how it's going to work, and your team is there to help your members. If somebody is listening now and they're ready to sign up with Solidarity, where are they going to go to find out more information?
Yeah, they can reach us online at solidarityhealthshare.org. That's solidarityhealthshare.org. Or they can simply call us at 844-313-4999. That's 844-313-4999.
Oh, sounds good. And thank you, Brad, so much for your time once again this month.
Thank you.
And again, that is Brad Hahn, co-founder and CEO of Solidarity HealthShare. I will be sure to add information where you can get right to Solidarity HealthShare, find out more information about them, and you're going to find the link on the podcast of this interview at materdayradio.com.